folks, it's your buddy and mine,
Mr. Bobby Bones.
Let's go.
Transmitting across America.
This is the Bobby Bones Show.
That's right.
Now, here he is.
Turn it up.
Welcome to Friday's show. Let's see what's happening with everybody in a segment we call What's the Haps.
Hey, what's the haps?
What's the haps with you?
Let me ask you a question. What's the rules on I know my rules. What are your rules on FaceTiming someone if you've never FaceTimed them ever? Do you have to set up an appointment or do you just hit it and roll?
I guess I only FaceTime with people that I normally FaceTime with, so I haven't done that in a while. I don't know that there is a rule. You set it up. Hey, can you FaceTime at this time?
I went out with this girl one time.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden I'm at home and I see on my phone.
Mm.
And she's FaceTiming me. We've never FaceTimed. Never even talked on the phone. Only texted a few times. But I thought, and I was in bed on my computer and I have a shirt on, which is normal. I'm in my house. I don't wear clothes in my house, really. Would you thought that was a little awkward?
I mean, yeah, I think so. Probably.
I answered, by the way. I was like, hey, okay, you're going to hit me up. You're going to get what's except nipples, everything. Oh, it's all out there for.
So is she just like a big FaceTimer?
I didn't ask that question. So are you a big FaceTimer? What's happening here? But I just wondered the general rule. On the first FaceTime, don't you have to set up an appointment?
Gosh,
okay, I'm going to FaceTime
you. I feel like, yeah.
At what stage do you, because I will call you with no appointment. Just be like, right. I don't even call on the phone. I just hit FaceTime.
Yeah.
And what stage does that happen?
Well, we're like 14 years in. Yeah. I don't even know if FaceTime was around when we started talking. But, geez, if you're dating, you talk about it. She could have asked you, like, day one. She could ask you, hey, I'm going to FaceTime you later or something.
Okay. Morgan, number two, what do you think about that? You're dating?
Yeah, definitely.
Is that a weird thing?
Yeah, definitely. Always, always ask first. Okay. I would never just randomly FaceTime a guy.
Even one you had been out with one time?
Yeah, no.
Okay.
No.
I just want to make sure we're on the same page.
Yeah.
What if some dude just FaceTimed you and you'd only been out with him once or twice and you never had a first FaceTime?
No, I'm going to be honest. Some guy did do that to me. And after that, I was kind of like, now I feel weird. Now I don't want to go out with him.
So, yeah, what is your rule for girls that you've gone out with? Like, when do you start FaceTiming with them?
I admire her for just going at it. I do. I was just weird. But I just was like,
what did she need?
I never talked to her. She wanted to talk.
Oh. That's it?
Yeah.
It wasn't like urgent?
Uh-uh.
She wanted to see your face.
I guess so.
Did she say, I just missed you?
No, nothing like that. She was somewhere and she was like, hey, I'm this place. I thought it was cool. Thought you'd think it was cool if I was the thing.
Okay.
Yeah. That's all. But I was thinking about bringing this to the show. That happened last night.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
The end. Thank you very much. But we're all on the same page. That was weird.
But I think it's safe to say she's interested.
But I would say that too. But I'm not turned off by it. I was just a little weird by it. Now, if she shows up at my house unexpected, that's a whole different story, right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially if she doesn't know where I live, so that's really crazy then. All right,
hey, what's the haps?
Amy, what's up with you?
Well, I had a special moment with my dad, and I almost missed out on it because I was cooking dinner, and then all of a sudden he walked over. He's like, I kind of want to make something for the kids. Like, what about if I do cinnamon apples? And my dad has been on a feeding tube for over a year, so he hasn't tasted food or eaten food or anything. I mean, except for like when he's doing his physical therapy, they'll put mashed potatoes in his mouth or whatever, but that's it. And so he loves to cook. That's his love language. And I almost was like, Dad, you know, I'm in the kitchen, I'm cooking dinner, like, just fine. Go away, basically is what I was thinking in my head. Just go watch football. And then I thought, you know what? This is probably something special for him. And so I let him like cut up the apple and he went over and he did the whole thing and did coconut oil and cinnamon and sugar and made them like cinnamon apples on the stovetop. And they loved it. The kids loved it. I think I could see that it made my dad so happy that they loved it. And I was like, that's impressive. That's some skills because he doesn't use a recipe. He doesn't measure anything. And he put milk in there and did all kinds of stuff. And they tasted so good. And he couldn't even taste test it. And so I just forget how amazing of a cook he is and that I need to let him do that more because that's his love language.
I know he had throat cancer.
Yes.
Will he ever be able to eat food again?
Oh, man, we hope so. He like goes up and down. It's really just that he can't. The parts of his throat that were cut out, like he has to retrain his body to swallow. And so it's not naturally happening in there. So he's having his physical therapy all the time and we're working on it. So his current therapist says she sees progress and that, yes, one day maybe he could.
Did he cook for you a lot as a kid when you say love language? Is that his real way to show that he was thinking about
you? Oh, yes. Like, that is what he loves to do. Like, cooking is his thing.
All right, there you go. Mm-hmm. Hey,
what's the hat?
Lunchbox, what's happening?
I got a question for you guys. When you go to the valet and you're getting your car and you're going to tip, are you allowed to ask the valet person for change? Because the other night, my wife and I are getting the car from the valet, and all I have is a $10 bill. Well, $10 is a little steep for someone just to go get my car, so I wanted to ask him, hey, can I get $7 back? And my wife was like, you can't do that. That's so awkward. You don't ask the valet for change. Just give him the 10. I'm like, whoa. So I want to know, is it okay to ask the valet for change?
Amy?
I think it's okay. I'd probably ask for a 5 back, but I think it's fine. I've given like a 20 before and you ask for the money back. Like, and the great thing is they've got a lot of change, so they should. It's no problem. I think they're used to it.
It's always okay to ask for change.
Yeah.
It may feel awkward.
Mm-hmm.
Like your wife was like, ooh. But really what the question is, could you have afforded giving him, really out of your heart, 7 extra bucks?
Well,
could you have?
I probably could have.
So if it's on that line, because maybe you couldn't. Maybe you could. Maybe it's you want $1 back.
Right.
You go, is this going to affect me or him more by him getting it or me getting it back? That's a whole different conversation.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
That's like for you, it's not, yes, I think I've said.
As a valet,
yes,
we all had jobs and we were valeting. And we mm-hmm. were, like, not specifically valeting, but working jobs where it was like, we're hustling 2, 3, 4 bucks at a time. When I was waiting tables or getting tips doing maintenance on a golf course. Like, you probably could have been like, you know, I don't have change. Just keep it. But that's not the question. Yes, you can ask for change.
Okay.
You can get change out of the collection plate at church if you want.
Oh,
can you really?
Stop that.
Oh,
I like that.
What? Wait. Awkward? But if all you go... Okay, but here's the reasoning.
Okay.
If all you go in is with 20 bucks and you only have 10 to get...
You're crazy.
Would the church rather... Hold on. Would the church rather have 0?
Well...
Look at it practically.
Wow. I'm not touching that money, Bones.
I'm just saying, Amy, would you rather the church have 0?
No, I get it.
But if you can only afford $10, I don't think there's anything wrong if you can make... Because, listen, the plate would go through.
What if you're on a date at church
you're making things up here.
Oh,
you're making crazy scenarios
I'm picturing
up.
You at church and I'm on a date with you and you're taking change out of the...
And it's also got to be quick. Like, you can't, like, go through it.
Can't dig.
Right. So, but again, it comes down to... Would you rather the church have nothing or $10?
Smart call. You'd rather have the church have $10.
And my point is, that's the most sensitive place to make change, and I still think that's okay if that's all you can do.
I am going to get change before I go to church.
But that's not always the thing. You try to.
Mm-hmm.
But what if you get there and you're like, oh, I didn't get change?
I asked my neighbor.
Okay. Whatever. The answer is you can always ask for change.
Yeah, and another question. Do valets get paid by the hour, or do they rely
both.
On tips?
Well, depends.
Yeah.
Some both, some tips only.
That's a good question.
But minimum wage, if they do. I would say most tips, by the way.
Because I bet they make some good money.
I mean, they make good tipping money. But if they made really, really good money, people would be valeting instead of working like a business job.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
You can always make change. That's the rule. But if always you can affect someone's life a little more positive than it would hurt you in the negative, try to lean toward that.
Yeah, that's why I was going to give them $3.
Okay. All right.
What's the hat?
Eddie, you're up, bud.
My 11-year-old son, he loves movies, and he loves to review movies. So he's got a new movie that he reviewed.
Today, we're reviewing a classic from 1993. It's Rudy. Now, I've seen the movie, but Junior, you had not seen the movie. Quickly, what's it about?
Well, it's about this guy who wants to go to Notre Dame College to play football, but he doesn't have the money or the grades, and his family doesn't even want him to go. They're like, you can't do that. But he really wants to go, and he believes he can do it.
So does he ever get to go and play football there?
You have to see.
Out of the whole movie, what's the lesson you took from it?
Well, if you work really hard, you can achieve your dream.
Does it make you want to go to Notre Dame and play football?
No, not really.
Out of 5 footballs, what do you give this movie?
4.5 footballs.
Oh, that's good. So you'd watch it again?
Yeah.
Awesome. Love it.
So he liked it at 11.
He loved Rudy.
Rudy's so good, by the way.
It's such a great movie.
Yeah. It's so good, but it's cool. He liked it.
They're working class people, so they do kind of have a little foul mouth. And I forgot. I hadn't seen the movie in a couple of years. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so there are a couple of things in there for an 11-year-old.
Working class people. Everybody has a...
It's kind of in their every... It's kind of in their
foul mouth.
Yeah, I know. But the way they talk to their brothers or whatever, is like they say a lot of GD in there and a lot of other stuff that I wasn't ready for.
Okay. Well, good review. Yeah. That's what's the haps. Hey.
Hey, what's the haps?
Here's the Bobby Bones Show podcast highlight segment of the day.
Amy, are you feeling Christmassy yet?
Yes.
Even though we're not Thanksgiving, you feel kind of already in Christmas mood?
Yep, and I love it.
You know, I've been hearing this Thomas Rhett Christmas song. It's called Christmas in the Country. I'm going to play some of this for you right now.
We got snowflakes falling on an old Tulane. Red Bull wreaths on the window pages. Sitting around the fire with the ones who love me. Miles from the city and the crazy crowds where the pine trees grow and the world slows down.
In the Country. That's a new Thomas Rhett Christmas song. But I was thinking about favorite Christmas songs of all time. We go around the room here. Amy, your favorite Christmas song of all time?
Oh, I've been jamming Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas.
This is number one on the list?
Yes. It's like, it's the first song I played to get the season going. And like, that was a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And then during Christmas time, I light all the candles in the house. And this is the song probably that gets played the most.
Didn't she write this in like an hour with somebody else?
Yep.
And then it's made millions and millions and millions of dollars because it's like the number one Christmas song. It's tough to do an original Christmas song. That's why, you know, Thomas Rhett having a good one. By the way, Eddie and I have a new Christmas song coming out possibly next week. So the Raging Idiots Christmas song, the first one ever. Amy, you've heard it, right?
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah. Lunchbox, what's your favorite Christmas song of all time?
The Jackson 5, I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus.
Any reason this version is your favorite?
I guess my parents played it a lot as a kid because my dad had a lot of album or like records and he loved this song and he played this over and over and over again. So I guess it just stuck with me.
Eddie, what's yours?
Ooh, mine is White Christmas, Bing Crosby.
Come on. I'm dreaming of a
I just love the warmth of that, like, sound, an old record or whatever. It reminds me of just, like, it's cold outside and we're playing old Christmas music.
Well, so, I've thrown a couple of my favorites up here, but mine's White Christmas, too, but it's not that version.
Oh, okay.
Mine's this version. It's the Drifters' White Christmas. Because in the Santa Claus, they play this song. In Home Alone, this is one of the songs they pick. I just like the feel of this White Christmas. All those guys, ba-doo, ba-doo.
That's good.
This one's good. And then the Alvin and the Chipmunks Christmas song.
Ah, oh, so
ooh,
good.
Good one.
Yeah, this is called Christmas Time is Here. Turn this one up. So I listened to a podcast, I think I've talked about it on the show, where how they make Alvin and the Chipmunks, how they do these voices. So don't they play the music fast and talk normal, or do they play the music slow?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Help me out, Amy. You heard this one too.
Yeah, it's the opposite of what you would think. They sing really real slow and then speed it up.
Instead of normal pace.
Right,
that's right.
Because if they were to do it like normal talking and then speed up,
the music would also be fast.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. So they talk real slow. So when they do speed it up, it matches the music normally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Morgan, number two, what is yours?
Yeah, it's Michael Bublé. It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Christmas.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Everywhere you go.
That's a good one too, huh? That Michael Bublé, I don't know what it is, but I like it. Everything he sings is good. Amy, didn't you have a Michael Bublé song on your wedding?
Yes, we danced to Home.
Maybe sing that one to me.
Well, now all I can hear is that song in my head. It's hard to... home, on an airplane, I want to fly home. I want to fly. It's beginning to... That's all I hear in my head right now.
Yeah, it's such
a good song, though, especially, you see, because my husband's a pilot and we spend a lot of time apart, so the message in the song really fits us, too.
Home. At my Christmas party that we already had, which was before Thanksgiving, I was talking to Amy's husband, speaking to them, about flying, and about pilots, and he was like, yeah, pilots, they die early because of all the, like, the sitting in the cockpit, like, radiation they're getting, and their body always traveling different time zones back and forth. And he said something interesting. He said pilots like to go north and south instead of east to west and west to east because their body's not getting out of sync with the hours. So if they can fly up and down America, that's a real win for them. I never thought about that.
Yeah.
Because they stay in the same time zone, basically.
Definitely helps.
Does he talk a lot of pilot talk with you all the time?
No, I mean, I guess I just pick up on it over time. But there's things, yeah, like he talks about the circadian rhythm and how it gets all messed up and how the radiation is worse the higher up they are in the sky. Like, there's just things like pilots.
That's what it was with radiation. It was because they're over the ozone layer.
Right.
And so, the ozone layer is blocking us from radiation.
Yeah, but so there's things that pilots have to deal with in life that leads them to maybe an earlier death. And I'm like, sweet, I'm glad you're going to be a pilot.
Does that scare you?
No, because I also know pilot. Like, his dad is older. At least he's past 65.
Yeah.
And he was a pilot for a long time, so got that going. I mean,
all right.
I can't say that I know a lot of older pilots, but maybe.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Big Three Stories.
Let's go over to our producer, Raymundo. Raymundo, what you got over there?
Yeah, an E. coli outbreak in 8 states is possibly linked to romaine lettuce. On the package, you'll see Bistro, and it was the chicken Caesar ready-to-go salads. You have that, take it back for a full refund. In other news, country music star Sam Hunt was arrested for DUI in Nashville. And finally, a Philippine airline plane engulfed in flames over LAX. It had to make an emergency landing. There was smoke, fire you could see from the air. Luckily, it landed safely. Everybody was okay.
The Bobby Bones Show.
So I told you guys before the break that there was a superstar country artist who had surgery and was not allowed to speak for 3 weeks. Like, as big as it gets right now. Amy, any guess?
Garth Brooks?
No, not Garth Brooks. A solid guess. This artist was also nominated for Entertainer of the Year. Eddie?
Eric Church.
Okay. Great guess again, but you're wrong. It's Keith Urban. There you go. There you go. So apparently this was so bad that the doctor told Keith Urban, hey, you have to stop singing in your sleep. Because Keith dreamed he was singing in a really high octave. Because he was. And he goes to the doctor, and the doctor's like, you got to stop talking. You can't sneeze. You can't cough. So for months, he shut down everything and didn't say a word for 3 weeks. So Eddie thought he had a polyp for a while.
Yeah. I did, and it ended up being like just mucus in my throat, not a polyp.
It ended up being an allergy.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Keith Urban's blown his voice out with a polyp, and Eddie's like, I think I got a polyp.
Bobby Bones.
Yeah.
Morgan number two, what do you love?
Food.
She loves food. It's all she talks about. We were at my house the other night, and I was eating like 2 crackers. And I was like, I can't do all the carbs. Like, 2 crackers, and I'm already feeling guilty, right? And I'm like, and Morgan number two, because everybody else kind of has a date or a wife or a husband. And so we're kind of solo over on the side, just hanging out. And I was like, how do you, because she's just eating carbs like crazy. I'm like, how do you eat carbs and not blow up? And what did you say?
I think my body is like accustomed to that because I've never eaten meat. So like, I'm not full on meat or anything, and carbs are kind of always been that supplement for me. So my body just kind of adjusted to it.
I've been waking up eating crackers, by the way, every day for the past 3 days because I just have them. They're just there. They're just there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's time for Food World, though, with Morgan number two.
It's time for Food World.
Yes.
Num, num, num with Morgan number two.
I have the most hated Thanksgiving dishes. 5 of them.
Most hated? Most hated?
Yeah.
Okay, black-eyed peas.
Nope.
Are they gross things?
No, they're common items.
Okay, drum roll, please. At number 5 on the most hated Thanksgiving dish.
Tied are turkey and pumpkin pie. What?
What?
Are they, because they're so prevalent that just enough people don't like them? Because they're just, everybody has them.
Yeah.
That sounds ridiculous. Poll's already stupid. All right, number 4.
Sweet potatoes.
No.
Amazing.
I enjoy sweet potatoes.
Yeah.
I'm allergic. I did the blood allergy test, and I still eat some, but sweet potatoes are super inflammatory for me.
It's food sensitivity.
And I do like them. Yeah. Number 3.
Stuffing. What?
Oh,
no.
Did they talk to Americans?
Yeah.
Or just like people in China?
This is the United States.
No. Okay, number 2.
Green bean casserole.
No.
So good.
Made right. Fantastic. Number 1. The number 1 most hated Thanksgiving item.
Is cranberry sauce.
Oh, yeah.
I can do without that.
Yeah. Get rid of that.
Yeah. Don't eat it.
I love cranberry sauce.
You do?
Yeah.
It's like dessert, but it's a vegetable.
Do you like it on your, like, turkey?
It's a fruit. I like it everywhere. Oh. I can eat cranberry sauce just in a spoon.
Really?
Oh. You guys aren't like that?
That's gross.
No. Let me say this about Morgan number two's food world for a second. She did this food world in real life, and Eddie had mentioned it, with these Ritz crackers dipped in chocolate. And what'd you give them? Like 2 out of 5?
I gave them a 3 out of 10.
Three out of 10.
Isn't that crazy?
You're out of your skull.
They're so good.
They're so good. They're Ritz, which, by the way, are great.
Pound for pound could be the best cracker.
Chocolate, alone. Which, by the way, is great.
Alone, great.
And then together, everything was stimulated in me.
Yes, same.
Delicious. How did you get? I would give it an 8 out of 10.
Yeah.
I just, the fudge wasn't like high quality for me. So I was like, I think there's.
It's in a package. When did you become a fudge connoisseur?
I do eat a lot of chocolate, let me tell you. So.
Well, let me do Bobby Food World. Come on. Num. Ritz with the chocolate. They're one of the best like cracker combos I've ever had.
Like Delicious. A salty sweet combo. They nailed it.
Yeah.
And I don't. Is this the first year they've ever had those?
I've never seen it before.
They're amazing.
I believe the second year they've had them.
Well, what took so long?
Go to BobbyBones.com and watch Morgan number two's Food World in Real Life, and you can see that. And yeah, I'm up in arms. Yeah. Losing credibility one at a time. Thank you, Morgan number two. That's Food World. There it is.
That was Food World with Morgan number two. Num, num, num.
Bobby Bones Show. The latest from Nashville and Hollywood. Morgan number two's 30 Second Skinny.
The American Music Awards are this Sunday. Thomas Rhett and Shania Twain will be performing. Dan and Shay will also be presenting. It all goes down on ABC at 8, 7 Central. Little Big Town shared a new song from their upcoming album. It's called Sugarcoat.
Sometimes I wish I liked drinking.
Aldean has a new album out today. It's called 9 and features 16 songs. Here's his song, We Back.
We back, we back, we back in the speakers, back in black, getting blasted in the bleachers.
I'm Morgan number two. That's your skinny.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Come on.
It's time for the good news.
With Bobby.
Tell me something good.
A nonprofit partnered itself with an Indiana school district to make sure kids have enough to eat. Elkhart Community Schools in the northern part of Indiana saw how much food they had left each week. They also noticed some of their students may be without food on the weekends when they go home from school. So the issue partnered with the leftovers seemed like, well, we need to do something about this because we've got the extra food.
Mm-hmm.
We got kids who need the extra food. We just don't have like a way to get it together. And so that's where Cultivate Culinary, a South Bend-based nonprofit, stepped in. They made a special way to get the foods to the people instead of wasting it. Because you know there's like food rules.
Yeah.
That they have to abide by. They rescue the food because they're considered a legit like charity. And then they repackage it and create frozen meals and redistribute to those in need.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, I do too. That is pretty cool. It's just a good idea because so much food goes to waste and they can't just put it out for people to eat because of, you know, all the rules about what you can do with food.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I thought that was great. Wanted to share it with you guys. That's what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Bobby Bones Show.
Bonehead.
Story of the day.
This story comes to us from Warren, Ohio. A man was watching America's Got Talent with his family when he was like, you know what? I think I'm going to try out for that show. And his brother goes, dude, you're not good enough to be on America's Got Talent. So what's he do? Attacks his brother.
Oh.
Puts him in a headlock, starts punching him. Police had to be called, and he said, I would have killed him, but,
oh my gosh.
But then I really wouldn't have been on America's Got Talent.
Oh, wow. He's holding on to his dream.
He can't jeopardize that. I mean,
good for him. He knows what's important.
He believes in himself.
He wants to go for that AGT crown.
Murder's fine, but it just kind of gets in the way of your dreams.
Wow. All right, there you go.
I'm Lunchbox. That's your Bonehead Story of the Day.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Here's Amy's pile of stories.
Fun Fact Friday.
All right.
Okay, so space smells like, do you know what space smells like? No? Seared steak. That's what astronauts say. They describe it as either hot metal or searing steak, and that smell actually stays with them and hangs around with them for a while, and it's all they can smell.
I mean, smells like seared steak.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that smells good.
But what's a seared steak?
Like as you're grilling the steak.
Oh, that's what it is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. All right, what else?
Jerry Maguire only made $5.5 million during its fourth week in theaters in January of 1997, and it was still the number one movie. No other movie has ever been number one at a box office with that low of money coming in. Only $5 million.
That's kind of a weird title to hold.
Yeah. Like, we were number one, but
the
we didn't
lowest
make
ever.
There must have been nothing else. Yeah. But Jerry Maguire's so good.
Yeah, it's fourth week, though. Fourth week movies don't make that much. Oh. I think the thing is, there just wasn't another movie that was bigger than that.
Yeah.
All right, what else?
Okay, so I got some Thanksgiving ones. So the first Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade went down with real zoo animals from Central Park. And it was in 1924, and they had monkeys and bears and camels and elephants. Obviously, now we have the traditional balloon characters, but way back when it started, real animals. And then Benjamin Franklin, he actually wrote a letter to his daughter saying that he was kind of bummed that the bald eagle was chosen to represent the United States as the official animal. He wishes it had been the turkey. He said the turkey is a much more respectable bird. In a very formal letter written to his daughter. And then, speaking of turkeys, the tryptophan or whatever that's in the chemical.
Tryptophan?
Oh, yeah. Is that how you say it? Yeah.
Again,
how do you know how
you
to
don't
say that?
Make fun of people who mispronounce things because they're mispronouncing it because they've only read it.
Yeah.
Although
you've
probably heard that a few times.
It's been a minute.
Okay.
Well, how do you know it so well? Tryptophan.
Yeah.
Or sure. Whatever. It's, you know, what they say that's in turkey that makes you tired. And after you eat it, you just want to lay down, take a nap, watch football. Well, no, it's because you've overeaten. Like, that's just it. On Thanksgiving, you have way too much food, period, and your body goes into shutdown mode and sleep gets promoted. So that's why that's happening. And I need to tell this to my husband because he's a pilot and sometimes has to pack a lunch or whatever, and he would never want to pack a turkey sandwich or anything because he's like, can't get tired while I'm flying. But now I'm going to be like, that's a myth. It's not true.
You tell him it was in Fun Fact Friday, so obviously he's been leading his life along the whole time.
Eat all the turkey sandwiches you want while you're flying, as long as you don't overeat. And then the Victoria's Secret fashion show, it's being scrapped. It's done. Rest in peace.
Why? Because, not that I care.
Mm-hmm. Well,
but
I kind of was shocked.
But why?
Well, so they just say that last year's taping or whatever was the lowest rated ever.
Okay, well, that makes sense then.
And it's people see it as sexist and anti-feminist, and there's just been a lot around that.
It all comes down to no ratings.
Oh.
The beginning is, it got no ratings. If it's not making money, then they're going to cut it.
Yeah, Victoria's Secret says that they're going to try to evolve the brand's marketing. We don't know exactly what that means, but part of that is getting rid of the fashion show.
Because it brought them no money and ratings, what I would think.
But, I mean, to me, I feel like it was something, even though I didn't really watch it, it's still something iconic to me. But I thought, man, how long has this been around? So I looked it up and it started in 2001.
So not that iconic.
I know. But for whatever reason in my brain, I saw it as like, oh my gosh, this is ending. I feel like it's been going on forever, but 2001.
All right, there you go.
I'm Amy. That's my pile.
That was Amy's pile of stories. It's time for the good news.
With Amy.
Tell me something good.
Man, I want to share this story about this 8-year-old boy named Tyler Stallings, who is helping out homeless veterans by making them hero bags. And I hope that it just inspires others to maybe make little kits for homeless, especially with the winter approaching. And inside his hero bags, because he thinks all veterans are heroes, he includes a hat, gloves, blanket, lip balm, a sweater, toothbrushes, and toothpaste, soap, and all like bundled up so he can hand them out. And he gives them to various organizations. Like, he collects the stuff on his own. He's been doing this since he was 4 years old, by the way. So the last 4 years, he's been able to help close to 3,000 veterans.
Wow.
And raised a lot of money in the process as well. And he just collects it all, builds the bags himself, and then distributes them to shelters and different organizations that are reaching the homeless.
That is fantastic.
Love it.
That's what it's all about right there.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Bobby Boneshell.
The latest from Nashville and Hollywood. Morgan number 2's 30 Second Skinny.
The American Music Awards are this Sunday. Thomas Rhett and Shania Twain will be performing. Plus, Dan and Shay will be presenting. And it all goes down on ABC at 8/7 Central.
Who's hosting that? Do we know who's hosting that show?
I can look it up real quick.
That's okay. I'm always curious who hosts these things. All right, what else?
Little Big Town shared a new song from their upcoming album. It's called Sugarcoat.
Sometimes I wish I liked drinking. Sometimes I wish I liked pills. Wish I could sleep with a stranger. So
songs basically written by me, except I didn't write it.
It does sound like that.
Wow. I wish I could do all that stuff, but I don't. All right, what else?
And Jason Aldean has a new album out today. It's called Nine and features 16 songs. Here's his song, We Back.
We back, we back, we back in the speakers. Back in black, getting blasted in the bleachers. It's probably true what my mama said. I do it just like my daddy did. We back.
I'm Morgan number two. That's your skinny.
Folks, it's your buddy and mine,
Mr. Bobby Bones.
Let's go.
Transmitting across America.
This is the Bobby Bones Show.
That's right.
Now, here he is.
Turn it up.
Come on, Bobby.
All right, let's get a Thanksgiving joke. Amy is standing by over there. Hit it.
The morning corny.
What does a disappointed mama turkey tell her kids?
What's a disappointed mom turkey tell her kids?
If your father could see you now, he'd be turning over in his gravy.
So we're definitely highlighting all the gravy jokes, right? It's all gravy now.
She's clapping for herself. Yes.
I mean, that was pretty good.
On the Bobby Bones Show now.
Jason Aldean.
Here he is.
Yeah.
What up? What's happening? Hey, you know, I was thinking about you. We were together a couple nights ago at a charity event.
Yeah.
We were talking, and unless somebody knows it's you, I don't think people would see you and go, oh, that's Jason Aldean, the big rock star.
Yeah, it's the beauty of the cowboy hat, man. You know what I mean? It's like, I think that's what everybody kind of sees. So when I go out to something like that, I don't think I had a hat, cap or anything
no
on the other night. And so, yeah, it's a completely different look. I kind of slide under the radar sometimes. But
I was thinking about it because, you know, we're there talking and I was like, I wonder if Jason ever has to go somewhere and you, like, give them your ID, and they're like, nah, that's not you.
I mean, I feel like it's happened occasionally. You know what's funny, though? Anymore, it's almost like if they see me and think they recognize me, they look over and they see my wife, and they're like, hold on. Okay, I think that's it. That's definitely him, because that's her. You know what I mean? So I think she draws more attention than I do a lot of times, just people noticing her, and then they kind of put it all together. But
if you go through a Starbucks,
she's blowing my cover, you know what I mean?
Will you say Jason? Like Starbucks, you walk in and go,
yeah,
Jason?
Yeah.
And all cool. They turn.
Well, that's my name. What
I know, but still. And when you're so famous, I think you got to roll with like a Chuck or a Willie or you know, something like that.
No, just use my name, Bobby.
All right. Jason Aldean's here. New record out today.
Yeah, man. I'm excited. It's, you know, anytime these albums come out, we spend so much time working on them. And then, you know, this long gap in between the time that you finish them and the time they finally come out, and you're playing them for all your friends and family, and you know they typically tell you how great it is, but then you want like a real opinion, so you know they kind of have to tell you that because they're friends and family. So you know it's exciting when the album comes out, man, and you get some honest feedback, and that's a big day for us.
16 songs.
Yeah,
that's a lot. You always do basically double albums, but put it on one record.
Well, you know, I mean, my theory on that is just always, if we're going to wait in a year and a half or 2 years to put out an album, you know, I want it to be worth the wait when it finally comes out. You know, I mean, you wait for, if you have a favorite artist and you wait for a year and a half, 2 years, and then they put out an album that's got 10 songs on it. I don't know. I would just feel like I got a little cheated with it. So we just try to, usually 15 was kind of our norm. Like that was usually what we did. And then on this record, we had 16 and I wasn't really willing to cut one of them off. So we just tacked it onto the album and made it 16.
Jason Aldean's here. I'm gonna play track one, a little bit of Tattoos and Tequila. If you get the record, you turn it on. This is the first song you're gonna hear here. So what is it that you're looking for when you find songs that you like? Is there something specific when you're like, all right, this is what I'm looking for? I don't know. Like, what?
I think for me, it's a combination. I mean, obviously, it's the, you know, it's lyric stuff. It's, you know, I don't know. I just want to feel like it's something believable. You know, that's really the main thing. Something that's believable coming from me. So lyric obviously has a lot to do with that. Melody, you know, I know melody wise things that I like, things that I'm good at singing, what's kind of in my sweet spot. And, you know, I don't know, man, just something that I feel like. I feel like as an artist, you know, it's like when a fan's driving, you know, they're in their car driving to work and they hear a brand new song for the first time and they just kind of have that immediate attraction to the song. They're like, man, I love, did you hear that new song? I love it. And it's kind of the same with us. you know, we hear these songs, it's, I hear them once and I just kind of know, you know, it's just like, man, that's, I got to cut that. And so, you know, I don't know. It's just kind of it's a combination of a lot of things though, I think, for me.
You ever have a song that comes to you and you're like, wow, this song's so good, we got to cut this immediately?
Yeah. You know, there was, Thomas Rhett sent me one probably, I don't know, a month or so ago. And he was like, man, we just wrote this song on the road this weekend. You're the first person I thought of. And so he sent it to me. And I was like, yeah, man, I love it. I just finished my album. I said, hey, I just finished my record, but this will be one of the first things I cut for the next record if we, you know, get it. And then he called me back a couple days later and said, well, I think somebody else is going to cut it. And I'm like, well, why would you ever send me a song that somebody else was going to cut? But, you know, there are songs like that, man, that come in that you're just like, you know, I mean, We Back was a song that we kind of were missing that piece of the album. And Tyler Hubbard called me up one day and just said, man, we want to go in and write something for your record. And him and the guys, the Warren Brothers, went in and they wrote this thing and sent it to me a couple days later. And it was just like, man, that's exactly what the piece we were missing, you know, for the album. And I think we went in probably 2 days after that and cut it. And then Brantley Gilbert sent me a song that I was on the way to the studio. We had our songs we were going to cut that day, and on the way in, he sent me a song and I listened to it, and I got to the studio and told my producer, I'm like, all right, well, we're not going to cut this one. We're going to cut this one now.
He switched it up on
him. Yeah, it was like the day of going in the studio. So you know, it happens sometimes like that for sure. Go.
On the Bobby Bones Show now.
Jason Aldean.
All right, he's in studio. New album's out today called 9. Thanksgiving's coming up. What are you going to do?
I think this year, probably go to my sister's house. I think we're doing Thanksgiving at her house. Typically, we do it at our house, but we're in the process of building our house, so we're gonna have it at her house this year, I think. And it's great. We only live about 10 minutes down the street, so perfect.
If you hire somebody to come and build a house, do they do the same thing to you they would do to me, where they're like, you know, it's gonna be about an extra $1,500?
Probably. No, actually, the guy that's building our house is a friend of mine who has done some stuff. He's kind of done some stuff with, he built my sister's house. He built an add-on that we did to my last house. And so he's turned out to be a really good friend of ours. And so he's out there doing. So the thing I like about it is once we move in, if something's wrong, you know, get him back, he'll come back over and fix it. So, but I would like to think, no, they don't do that. But, you know.
What's up with, do you have an Aldean room with all your trophies? You having one of those when you draw the plans out? You're like, this is my trophy. This is my trophy room.
Well, we, you know, in our
life, I imagine that's how you're talking to your house builder.
Right.
I'll take a trophy room right here, please.
I don't really have a trophy room. I, you know, in the last house we built the bowling alley, the 2-lane bowling alley, and we kind of copied that and are doing it at the new house too. And that's kind of my hangout. You know, but like speaking of Thanksgivings, like that's where we do that stuff. It's kind of out. It's a, you know, separate from the house. And so that's kind of where like all plaques and all those kind of things go. So I don't know. I guess it's kind of a room.
Do you use the bowling alley enough? Because I would get me a bowling alley, but I'm not rich. But if the bowling alley, like I had a pool table before.
Yeah.
And I got it. And I was like, I use this 3 times and I'm done.
But see, I don't have a pool table because I did the same thing. I had a pool table and I never played it. You know, I never played pool.
But you use the bowling alley?
All the time.
Are you a good bowler?
I'm pretty good. I mean, I'm decent.
300? Ever hit 300?
No, I never hit 300. 230.
Really?
Yeah, kind of in that
I have
range.
No idea what that means. I'd hit him with a really. Like, oh, wow. I have no idea what a 230 means.
I figure anything over 200 is pretty good. So,
if you were to get a 300 and no one was there to watch you in your own house bowling alley, would you share with anyone?
I'd take a picture and put it on the gram.
But no one will believe you.
Well, it's too bad.
In your own bowling alley.
Does it keep score like at the real bowling alley, or you have to old school?
No, it's the real deal. We had actually Brunswick came in and did all the, you know, the scoring systems and everything. So it's legit. Wow.
Do you have bumpers?
Yeah.
You do?
The only thing I don't have is the, like for the kids where like you put the ball on the big metal thing and push it down the ramp.
Yeah.
I don't have the ramp. That's the only thing we don't have.
You got a little place to make Frito pies up there where you go up and you squirt it and make the Frito. You don't have that?
No, but I'll work on it just for you.
All right. Jason Aldean's here. Got a new record called 9. You guys know the squirty thing, right?
Yeah, of course. No snack bar?
Yeah. You'll get there one day.
Snack machine. That's coming next.
Yeah, when you get to record like 12, then maybe you can get you one of those.
Yeah.
The significance of the number 9?
So nine was just, it was my baseball number growing up, you know, it was just kind of always my lucky number. And I remember George Strait had an album called Number Seven back in the day. And I just, I thought, man, maybe if I make nine records, I'll call it Number Nine or something like that. And it just seemed like so far down the road, you know, and then all of a sudden I looked up and we're cutting the ninth record, you know. So it was just, it was kind of always my lucky number, just the number I wore playing sports. And I'll only get to make the ninth record once, so, you know.
And the ninth track is We Back. Is that anything there? Or does that just happen?
I'd like to say that, you know, we thought of that, but I don't think we did. Somebody brought it up to me yesterday, and I think that's the first time I heard it. But, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'm not that creative, but that's a good move on our part.
The
single did come out on September 9th, so that was 9-9.
Just rolling it
off. That was something we planned.
Keeping It Small Town. Here's one of the new tracks from Jason Aldean today.
Yeah, we're all just backbone blue-collar people, burning that Texaco black smoke diesel. Yeah, we're keeping it small town, keeping it slow, keep that dust stirred up on them old dirt roads. Yeah, we keep.
How long ago did you record that one?
I would say maybe 5-6 months ago, probably.
Wow, really?
Yeah. So yeah, Morgan Wallen was one of the co-writers on that song, and they sent it to us, and you know, Morgan's a great singer, man. I really like his voice a lot, and the track he did on it was really cool, and so that was one of those that, you know, I heard and just sounded like candy. You know what I mean? It's really good. So, but we probably cut that one. I probably cut the vocal on that one. I'd say probably 5-6 months ago.
When you get it, will you get it fully produced up, everything but the vocal, and you just sit with it and practice for a while, or no?
No, I mean, because when we get the, you mean after we track it?
If the band goes in and tracks it and lays down all the instruments, will they ever send you that?
Oh, yeah. So I'll go in and track everything with the band, and then once we get the track, you know, they'll send it to me, and I'll just kind of live with it in my car, you know, till we go in to do the vocal, which sometimes could be the next week or sometimes could be a month later, you know, so it just kind of depends, but yeah.
You ever have a song that you get and you're like, I don't know if this is for me, and you decide not to cut it, and then somebody else cuts it and turns into a big hit?
Yeah. Luke Bryan had one of those. It was the Girl You Make My Speakers Go Boom Boom, that song, whichever one it is. And somebody pitched it to me, and I was listening to it on a plane ride one time, and it's one of those days where I was just kind of tired and kind of halfway paying attention, and I just kind of skipped past it, you know. I must have been looking for something like in particular, I don't know if we were looking for tempos or what, but I was just kind of like trying to find them. I didn't think much about it, and then Luke played me his album, and I was like, yeah.
What could have been?
What could have been? Hey, but you know, I'm also a firm believer that songs find the home they're supposed to find, and you know, Big Green Tractor, Jake Owen passed on it, you know, and which is how I ended up with it, and you know, so it just works that way sometimes. And you know, would Jake have had as big a hit on that as we did? Probably not. You know, I probably wouldn't have had as big a hit on Luke's thing as he did. So,
your dad taught you how to play guitar?
Yeah, he taught me the basics. You know, he knew how to play well enough to play country music. You know, three chords, but. He knew the basics and kind of taught me that, and he promised me that if I learned to play, he would buy me a nice guitar. So the guitar he bought me wouldn't stay in tune. I would play one song, have to retune, song, retune. And, you know, he just said, man, if you learn to play, I'll get you a nice guitar. Well, this was like at the start of the summer, and by the end of the summer, I was showing him how to play stuff. So a couple months in, you know, I was playing better than him already, and he got a guitar, and I actually had that guitar on the road for a long time, and finally retired it off the road because I was scared. It's getting a little older, and I was scared something was going to happen to it. So it's retired from the road now, but I still got it.
And your parents weren't musicians; they were government. They worked for the government.
Yeah. So my dad was retired Air Force, and then my mom, you know, she worked for the government doing like payrolls and stuff, like money and. So yeah, you know, my dad, he had a little band, you know, it was like him and his buddies that would come over and sit in the living room and jam a little bit, you know, and I would sit in there, sing with them a little bit, those kind of things. But, you know, they weren't like musicians that got paid, if that's what you mean.
Jason Aldean's here with us, got a new record, 9, out today. I wonder, Jason, if you're at a party or somebody's house, do people just expect for you to play if there's a guitar around? Do they kind of like lean you into, hey, there's a guitar over here. Why not give them a song or two, Jason?
Friends are the worst. My friends are the worst. You know, like, especially like the Buck Commander guys when we go to like deer hunting camp or whatever, and it's me and Luke, you know, we're there, or Tyler Farr. Now we've kind of pulled him into it too. But, you know, they're the worst because they're like, they want you to sing and then play this song, and then you're done with that one. Play this song. And they just, you become like a jukebox at that point. You know what I mean? So, but yeah, I mean, and for us, what's funny is I used to could play a million songs. Like, I used to could play all kinds of stuff. And now for so many years, the only, really the songs that I play are mine, you know? So then I kind of feel, I'm like, man, I feel weird playing my own stuff. Or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just kind of puts you in a weird spot. And they're like, oh, well, you think a lot of your songs, don't you? You know, so it's kind of one of those things. But, you know, and I have to really think and go, man, what songs do I remember how to play? It's been so long. So it's different now.
You ever have proposals at your show? You ever hit you up, let me propose at your show?
Yeah.
How you feel about those?
It depends, you know. I mean, there's sometimes when you're trying to play a show and somebody's like trying to get your attention the whole time you're trying to play, and it's a little distracting. Especially when you don't know what they want. You know what I mean? It's like you can't stop the song and go, what's wrong? You know what I mean? So, but sometimes like it's, if we know ahead of time where I can kind of set it up or something, you know, it works out better. We had one, I think last year maybe, that we do like a little VIP show before the regular show every night. And you know, a guy wanted to propose and he kind of got my attention. And so we kind of made a thing out of it. If I know what's going on, it's easier for me to help him out, you know. So I don't know. It just kind of depends like that. Sometimes like when you're in the middle of a show, you know, you're in the middle of like your rock part of the show where everything's grooving. And then it's like it's hard to stop the show and go, all right, time out. You know, Johnny wants to ask you a question.
Jason Aldean's here. He came in today. He's got a new record out today called 9. We played We Back. Everybody go stream it, download it, however you're getting your music here. Who takes up more closet space, you or your wife?
Oh, my wife. Kidding me? My closet's like, in this house we're in right now, I have like one strip that's about 6 feet long. That's about it.
Is that all you
she's
need?
Got, shoot, no, I need a little bit more than that. She's got so many shoes, man. It's crazy. So.
Doesn't she have like a shoe line?
She does.
Yeah.
So, and they've been sending them by the dump truck loads to our house, right? Shoes. So she, right now, there are a lot of them, like most of my shoes right now are in a box in the attic because I don't have any place to put them. I got like the, you know, like my A-rig stuff, the stuff that I wear like a lot, it's there. Everything else, I got like two boxes of stuff in the attic.
You done having kids?
Yes, Bobby, I am. I am officially out of the game, my man.
Like, are you medically out of the game or just in your heart and your head?
All of it. Well, more just, I'm done. I'm out.
But physically, but you can still have
kids. Physically, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So you haven't did snip.
Well, I have.
Oh, you have.
But there's ways around that.
Okay, so see. Okay.
Wait, what?
Is that public? Well, yeah, you can get a reset.
Oh, he was acting like it's not a reset. Like, it's just like on a Friday, you can just decide you don't want it.
It's a process, but there's a ways around it.
Is that news that you've had a vasectomy, or is that out there?
I guess it's
out there. That's how we do. We break news here. Jason, not the vasectomy news.
This is important stuff.
No more babies that look just like Jason.
Yeah.
They did. Boy, your son.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. They definitely lost the coin flip on that one, but and both of them Navy too. She's mm-hmm. You know, looking more and more like Memphis. So, but it's cool, man. I really enjoy having, you know, the little ones there, and you know, my kids are 16, 12. Memphis was about to be 2, so there was a 10-year gap there for me, and but it's so much fun having little ones around again, and it keeps you young, man. So it's fun.
All right, Jason Aldean's here. About to let you go. I'm always intrigued by the amount of pyro that you use. There's a lot of explosions. You ever accidentally walked up on one of those a little too
yes.
close?
Oh, yeah.
And before you tell me the story, I need to know the process, because it seems like I would be hypersensitive to where they're blowing up and if there's like some training, like practice maneuvers around that stuff.
You know, the closest call I ever had was I think we were doing like an iHeart show out in Austin or something. And I was walking on stage, and so it wasn't really our setup, but on the side of the stage, they had like these little, these little rocket things that went up, and one went up and kind of like brushed the edge of my cowboy hat, and I mean, it blinded me. I couldn't see and for a second, and that was the closest call I ever had, just because I felt like it almost hit me in the face. And but it wasn't really our gear. It was, you know, it was iHeart's rig. So yeah,
just so you know. I had nothing to do with that
so
one.
So you know.
I had nothing to do with that
but,
one.
But typically, man, when it's our stage, you kind of know what's going on. And we had these sparkler things that would come down, you know, at the end of the show, like the grand finale for the show. And that was always a thing where I would mess up sometimes and stand where the sparkles were coming down, and they get down in your shirt and like in your collar and burn you. So that was fun. So yeah, after the Burning It Down tour, we started to reevaluate some things.
One final question here. What piece of advice from an artist early in your career did you take and get and you still kind of remember?
You know, man, I learned a lot from all those guys, really. You know, I mean, I was just kind of a student, so.
Anybody ever pull you aside and like, hey, Jason, we see things are blowing up for you? Because for you, you hit hard. Like,
yeah.
It was a rapid ascent.
Yeah, I think, you know, McGraw was one of those guys that kind of, you know, had been there, done that, and we were out on tour with him. I think it was probably in 08, 09, and things were kind of starting to take off a little bit, and you know, and you know, just sitting around. I used to play basketball with him all the time, talk and just those guys just telling you like some of the pitfalls to watch out for, and you know, and how to just go about your business. You know, I think the biggest thing was that this, you know, your career is like your career, and it's, you got a lot of people that you know may want to tell you to do this and do that, but ultimately, like at some point, you're the boss, and it's up to you to kind of steer the ship where you want it to go. And I think that was probably some of the best advice I got.
And if you're flipping it, like who do you grab and go, hey, let me lead you a little bit here if you need it?
Kane Brown, you know, guys like that. I mean, I've had a lot of talks with him just over the years. He was so new, you know, when he came out, he really hadn't played live a whole lot, and he kind of got thrown into all this stuff and blew up pretty quick too. So he was one. You know, Luke Combs is a guy that's called and asked some questions on some things, and he's, you know, because he kind of blew up quick too, and you know, so I'm I tell all these guys that have been out on tour with me, man, you know, anytime you guys need to talk about anything, I'm always here. So
all right, with that, we'll encourage you to check out Jason's new album, 9. Got a lot of songs on there. Also, listen, if there's one place Morgan number 2 loves to go, it's Jason Aldean's downtown.
Yes, she is very true.
That's her place, and I don't go many places except for where Morgan number 2 goes, so it's kind of my place too.
Hey, I love it, man.
We go top level. They play Genuine Pony. I grind hard. You should come. We should come grind together sometime. What do you think?
Well, I don't know about all that.
All right.
But, you know, we did just open, Luke and I just opened the steakhouse here too that just opened here a couple weeks ago, the E3. And it's down there in Hillsborough Village, but so we're trying to take over the old restaurant market here in Nashville. But it's good.
What was Luke wearing?
A cowboy hat.
He showed up.
It was all black, and he had a big black cowboy hat.
He looked like John Party.
Yeah.
And he shaved
so
his beard,
yeah.
And he
so
shaved
true.
His beard off too. I didn't know if he was going for something.
I don't know. Maybe he was going to look for like John Party. I don't know what was going on when he got out of the car. I'm like, what just happened right now?
You thought the same thing, right?
Yeah, I don't have a hat on, and you're wearing a cowboy hat. This is completely off here. But it was fun. We had a good time, and, you know, we've been working on that restaurant for a long time, so to finally have it up and running, it's great. And the food's great, too, so check that one out, too, when you guys are out on the town.
Got it going, all of it. You know, you need a few more bucks. I was thinking about it. Glad you could open up another restaurant. Yeah, I was really feeling bad for you.
I get bored, man. I got to have stuff to do.
All right, Jason Aldean. Hey, good to see you, bud.
Thank you. Really
appreciate it. Check out 9, Jason Aldean. Let's clap him out here. There he is, Bobby Bones Show. I was reading this story last night where this doctor, he's on a plane just chilling, going from destination A to B. But there's this older guy, and the guy starts to go, oh, my stomach is killing me. And so they're kind of gathering around him. And they're like, oh, something's wrong. Is there a doctor? And they're flying to New York. And so a doctor's like, yeah, it's me. I'm here. And so he goes up and determines that there has been a bunch of urine trapped in the guy's bladder, but he couldn't use the bathroom. And that since they were flying over the ocean to New York, they could not land the plane. So what he did, this doctor did, is he goes down and he uses the materials in the airplane, an oxygen mask, a syringe needle, straws from milk boxes, and tape. I mean, I'll say MacGyver. A lot of you kids, man, I know what MacGyver is, but MacGyver figured out how to save the world just, you know, with a pencil and
yeah.
a piece
everyday
of grass.
Items. Yeah.
And so he's trying to get the urine out of this guy's bladder, and he can't get it out, so he takes a straw and has to suck it out for hours. And they have it all on video.
Oh.
That's super kind.
No, he saved the guy's life by doing that. The guy would have died. It would have ruptured.
Right.
So the next 37 minutes, he had to suck the urine out of his bladder and spit it into an empty wine bottle and glass. Quote, if we had not dealt with the situation, the patient's life would have been at risk. It was an emergency situation. I couldn't figure out any other way.
That's crazy.
The needle to get it out, the syringe wasn't long enough to get into it.
Oh my gosh. The needle went into the bladder?
Well, that's what they wanted for it, but they had to use a straw because it wasn't long enough to get in.
Right. Okay.
So the guy who was just dying of pain, maybe would have died because his bladder was going to erupt, was saved by the doctor on the plane who was smart enough to go, give me a straw, give me this, and he went down and just started sucking all of it out and did it for almost an hour.
God.
That's crazy. Anyone ever see an accidental hero? You know, I mean, we see police officers and military members all the time, but I mean,
but
something where it's not supposed to happen, and then all of a sudden it's like, whoa, we can't believe that just happened. And if so, you can call us. I'd like to talk to you. 877-77-BOBBY. But that story was nuts. I did see a flight out of Los Angeles had to make an emergency landing right after takeoff yesterday because the flight caught on fire.
Oh, my gosh.
Imagine you're on that flight. Listen, if nobody's heard, it's a pretty good story, huh?
Yeah.
The fire, that's scary.
Over 300 passengers were aboard a plane that had to make an emergency landing, and flames were seen coming out of the engine.
No, that's the, yeah.
I do not want to be on that plane. I think even if everybody's fine.
Let me talk to Tony in Kentucky, who's on the phone. Hey, Tony, you're on the Bobby Bone Show. What's going on with you?
Oh, my gosh, Bobby, hi. I'm so excited. I'm coming to the show tonight.
Oh, you're coming to... Eddie and I are going to be in Louisville tonight.
Nice.
Yes, I call myself the OG fan from Louisville because I, like, discovered you on accident, and I introduced all my family and friends, and they're like, Bobby Jones, who? And I'm like, no, Bobby Jones.
You discovered us by accident. What, you just flipping through the radio?
Yes. You know, when I caught you guys, it was the day Ray was doing the push-up challenge, and I was like, what the crap is going on here? So it hooked me, and I've been hooked ever since.
Well, we appreciate that, and looking forward to seeing you tonight.
Oh, I'm so excited. So I have to tell you, I'm probably going to be crying while I'm there, too, because I had an aunt that I recruited to be a B-teamer. She passed away at 49 last year, and she would have so been going to this show with us because I drug her and my mom to, like, your comedy show in Franklin and to the Opry, like, three times to see you. So tonight I'm wearing a hat of hers in her honor, so she's going to be there with us. So if you see any crying in row E, you will know that they're happy tears, but we're going to be sad because she's not there with us. So
most crying is because people want their money back. You're like,
No, that's not it. Actually, I was going to ask you, is there any way, if I like made a donation to St. Jude in her honor, that you would meet and greet me tonight? Because I'm on vacation the week the meet and greets went for sale, and I missed them. And I had tickets to see you guys in Louisville last two years ago.
I'll tell you what, you don't have to beg. We'll just set it up. I would so beg. No, don't beg. We'll put you on hold. We'll see you tonight in Louisville, okay?
Oh, you guys rock. Eddie, I can't wait to meet you.
I can't wait to meet you.
All right, bye, Tony.
Just like you. Thanks, guys. All right, love you.
Raymundo, can you handle her and like get her information, and we'll set it up for tonight. By the way, if you're in Louisville and you want to come, just go to RagingIdiots.com. There are a few tickets left, not many. All right, cool. Amy, anything you want to say?
No, I mean, I'm excited that you're going to meet her. That was super sweet. And then she's going to be wearing her aunt's hat. That's special. And then she called them happy tears.
Here's a call here where a guy, her son's allergic to bees. And this is kind of a hero story. Raymundo, let's take this call on line one here. All right, you're on the Bobby Bone Show. How are you?
Good morning, studio.
Morning. What's your name?
My name is Sarah. Hey, calling from Massachusetts.
All right, Sarah, tell me your story.
So my son is 8 years old, and he's allergic to bees. He requires an EpiPen if he's allergic, gets stung. And last summer, my son's in the backyard and, you know, running around, and he starts screaming. He's like, I got stung. So I was like, all right, you know, let's get you inside, get the EpiPen and all that. And my dog, her name is Diamond, and she ran over to, like, where my son got stung and stuck her head inside. It was like an in-ground bee's nest. She would not leave that spot until my son got in the house. And
wow.
It was like a scene out of the movies. She was swarmed with bees. So I got my son all taken care of. My husband's at work. I call my mom, like, Mom, you got to come. I need help. Like, you know, Maddie got stung. The dog got stung. We had to rush my dog to the emergency vet. She went into anaphylactic shock, and she got stung. They estimated over 50 times. But, like, if she wasn't in that spot, like, it would have been my son.
Yeah, that, like, she, you know what I mean? Like, stuck her dog
like
head.
She knew to stay there.
And wow. To block the bees from your son. That's crazy. Yeah. Is the song...
Like, I said, it was like a scene out of the movies. And then I was like, so I got my son, you know, son all set. My mom came over, helped him. And it was like, you know, do the Benadryl and everything. And then I'm like, oh, my God, like the dog. And, like, she would not leave that spot until, like, my son was in the house safe.
Wow. Is the dog still
alive? It was crazy.
The dog still alive?
All over her. It was crazy. It was like, you know,
she's
like a little, our hero.
Is the dog still alive?
Yeah, yeah. She came out of it fine. She was on a bunch of, like, prednisone for, like, 10 days. Her whole face swelled up. She had welts all over her body. And she was like a free dog too. She was like one of those. Someone showed up at my house, and I'm a dog groomer, so like everyone knows like I love animals. And they're like, hey, we have this dog, and like we have three dogs, and she's like the best dog. So we consider her like our little mini hero. And you know, she just, like I said, she just knew not to leave that spot until he was safe.
That's pretty cool. Well, so, appreciate that call. Thank you for sharing that story with us.
Thank you. Appreciate
all right.
it.
See you later.
Take care. Have a nice Thanksgiving.
Yeah, you too. Have a nice Thanksgiving. I started wondering if she could hear me.
Yeah.
She was just talking.
Like, I was talking, and I was like, oh, is my microphone off? Are we still on the air?
Yeah.
Yeah, appreciate that excitement, though, for sure. I do want to get to Bill in Virginia, who's on the phone right now. Hey, Bill, we're talking about if you have ever seen or been around, like, an accidental hero situation. Because this doctor's on a flight, and this person's bladder is blowing up. And so he has to go down and build it out of milk carton straws and has to go into the person's body and go into their bladder and, like, suck stuff out of their bladder on an airplane, which is insane.
Mm-hmm.
So, Bill, what do you think about this?
That's pretty darn amazing there. That's total devotion.
Well, what happened with you?
Well, some friends and I were going from Virginia Beach to Norfolk on the interstate. I focused on this one car on the oncoming traffic for some reason. All of a sudden, the car went into the median and flipped about six times. The guy was partially ejected. I was the first one there. And found out the guy did not have a pulse. And I performed CPR on him. And then he had swallowed his tongue. I couldn't reach far enough in there to get his tongue out.
Are you trained, by the way, like to see this and do all this?
I was a lifeguard for a few years at Virginia Beach Oceanfront, and a long time ago. And but I've always kept up with my CPR training.
Wow.
But so finally, somebody had a pin, and I got his tongue, you know, back out and performed CPR on him for about 19 minutes. Rescue got there, and the mayor of Norfolk wrote me a letter and certificate, and the head of the rescue squad wrote me a letter, and the guy's family always invited me over for Thanksgiving dinner.
Aww. Wow.
Look at that.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Did you think about it much, or was it just such a reaction to go do it?
I think it was just a reaction where my old training had kicked in.
That's wild. Let's give this guy a little clap here. Wow. Well, I appreciate that call, Bill, and good for you. I think if something happened like that to me,
hey, have a nice Thanksgiving, y'all.
You too. I think I'd just run.
Ah, you don't know, though.
I know, but I know how I work. I'd be like, oh, no. Can somebody help him? Judy in Texas, you're on the air. Hey, Judy, what do you want to say?
Hey, Bobby.
What's happening?
I was going to say, if there was any way you would be willing to sell some of your pictures from the Ronnie Dunn photo shoot to donate to charity for St. Jude.
Well, we haven't put them up yet, but what we're going to do is we're going to do a raffle. We're not going to auction. We're not going to give it to the highest bidder. But you'll be able to buy like a $10 ticket, and then we're going to draw, and you'll get one of the pictures that Ronnie Dunn and I shoot together. One of them's like a signed pair of chaps that Ronnie Dunn from Brooks and Dunn and I, that I wore in the picture. So we're going to do that. I just didn't want it to be the most money won. I want everybody to have kind of like an equal shot.
Yeah.
So like that. That'll be how we do it. We'll do it with two different ones, and the money will go to St. Jude. So we're not going to sell them straight up, but we will kind of raffle them off. I guess that's the word, right? Raffle?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You can follow it. We'll do it in the next week or so, I'm pretty sure. BobbyBones.com.
It's time for the good news.
With Lunchbox.
Tell me something good.
Claire is on vacation down in Florida. She's from Colorado. She's out at Cocoa Beach getting some rays. She's like, ooh, I need to put some sunscreen on. So she takes her wedding ring off, puts the sunscreen on. Oh, no, can't find the wedding ring. Digs in the sand, looks, can't find it. Well, she has to leave. So she goes on Facebook and finds a
group. Imagine having to leave, though. Like, your ring is there and you have to leave.
Yeah,
vacation's over.
Wow.
And she's like, I got to go. So she finds a group on Facebook called Ring Finders. And he goes, glad you contacted me because there's guys out there that are ring keepers. I'll go find your ring. Takes his metal detector out there for 4 hours.
It's time for the good news.
With Lunchbox.
He finds the ring in the mail on its way back to Colorado.
Good thing she didn't contact ring keepers.
Yeah.
Yeah, different group.
Or ring losers weepers. That'd been a bad group. Yeah, good for him. That'd have been tough. To
use that it's ring time for though. The good news.
I would hope for ring
She knew in your yard.
Yeah.
Like, she's on vacation. She may never go back to that beach.
Yeah, Cocoa Beach. That's a big beach.
Yeah, good for him. Good for her. That's what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Let's play a 60-second showdown on the phone right now in Wichita, Kansas. Is Janaya? Is it Janaya? Is that how you say it?
Janaya.
Okay, Janaya. Well, I'm glad you called. Would you like to try to win a $100 in cash?
Yes, I would. It would make my day, even just to try.
Okay. Well, you have three categories here. You get to choose your categories. If you get all 10 questions right in 60 seconds, you win $100 of my money, okay?
Okay.
Would you like the category of The Bobby Bone Show?
Ooh.
U.S. Presidents?
Ah.
Or... we've had it before, and people are like, you should bring that back because I don't like how other people did. Disney movies.
Oh. Yeah.
Pick one of those. U.S. President, Bobby Bone Show, or Disney movies?
I will go with Bobby Bone Show.
Okay, no one's ever got this category right. All 10 questions.
Well, I will try my hardest. I listen to you guys every morning.
Okay, thank you. By the way, thank you for that. Here we go. The timer starts as soon as the first question is over. 10 questions, 60 seconds pass if you don't know it. Question number one. What country are Amy's kids from?
Haiti.
Correct. How old am I turning next year?
40.
Correct. What's the name of the segment Morgan number two does about food?
Food World.
Correct. What pro athlete did I used to do a national sports show with?
Pass.
In what year did the show move to Nashville?
Pass.
What's my favorite John Mayer song?
Slow Dancing in a Burning Room?
Incorrect. What state do I have tattooed on my arm?
Arkansas.
Correct. What was Amy's mom's Twitter handle that inspired Pimpin' Joy?
Pass.
How many kids does Eddie have right now?
He has two kids of his own and two foster kids.
Correct. Who on the show is featured on the song Vacation?
Raymundo.
Correct. Back to it. What pro athlete did I host a sports show with? You got close. How many did she get there? Six, seven?
Yeah, I think so.
She got six, right?
Six.
Okay, you did okay. Let's go over some of these you didn't get. For many years, I did a pro national sports show with Andy Roddick, the pro tennis player. Did you know that when I say that? Did you know that?
Yes, because he was also on, wasn't he also on the Family Feud with you guys?
He was. We played against his team. That's right. He beat us. I hate that guy. No, he's one of my closest friends.
Sorry to break it up.
The show moved to Nashville in the year of 2013.
Wow, I didn't even know that one. I didn't think about it.
You didn't? My favorite John Mayer song is?
I would have said 2015.
Oh, Stop This Train.
Stop This Train. And Amy's mom's Twitter handle was Judy B. Pimpin' Joy. So
I knew it was Pimp and Joy something. I just couldn't remember the first part.
Well, you gave it a good run.
I tried.
You tried.
It was a lot of fun.
I'm going to give you something anyway. I'm not going to give you the cash. But here's what I have. Bum, bum, bum. We're going to give you a $100 Walmart gift card and a Walmart photo gift. So we have the blanket, right? We have one blanket left. Which one is it?
The one
with
you
in
the gym.
Oh, boy.
Oh, wow.
Okay, well, here's the thing. Listen.
Ow. Lucky winner.
So Walmart does these awesome things where they'll put a picture on all these holiday gifts. And we have these blankets. And I don't know why they picked this picture, but it's a picture of me at the gym.
Boxing gloves.
No boxing gloves.
Yeah, right. Oh, no.
But I'm holding onto these rings. It's a lot, but I'm going to give you this blanket. I can sign the blanket if you want. Do you want that?
Oh, my God. You just made my day. You're going to make me cry because today's my birthday.
Oh, come on.
Happy birthday.
I mean, I feel a bit ridiculous giving her this picture where it's like...
That's a good gift,
It's like muscle picture. but we'll give you that and a $100 Walmart gift card. And so, you know, it's pretty cool.
Thank you so much. The blanket
is pretty cool. You'll stay warm. You may feel like a wiener with a big picture of me on it. Can you see it on the...
Yeah.
So we'll give you that. And then again, go to Walmart and get the... That's a stupid picture.
Hey, but the blanket looks
warm.
That's
the picture that I had to send Amy and go, Amy, is it okay if I post this on Instagram?
Yeah.
But she said...
But it was to announce your gym. Like, it wasn't like, hey, look at me, I'm working out. It was like, hey, we have a new gym opening.
Yeah. So. Okay. We're going to give this to you. And thank you for listening. Enjoy the blanket. I'll sign it for you if you want. Did we sign it or no?
Yes.
Okay.
Please do.
We'll send you a $100 Walmart gift card. Get over the photo gift, okay?
Thank you so much. You guys have no idea how much this means to me.
Well, thank you for calling and thank you for playing. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Don't hang up, Ray. Don't let her hang up. All right, cool. All right. There's that. That blanket is a little... It's a little much. Eddie, I hear your whole family's coming to the show tonight.
Oh, yeah, dude. I'm so pumped.
Well, we're going to be in Louisville, and Eddie's whole family, your foster kids haven't seen you play yet.
Foster kids don't even know I play. They see me kind of walk out of the house on the weekends with a guitar or whatever, but that's the most of it. And even my six-year-old really hasn't seen us really perform. I think it's just going to blow their mind, really. Like, I don't think they know what Daddy does when he leaves on the weekends.
On vacation.
On the vacation.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I'll let your wife hear that.
Born on vacation.
Yeah. So we're in Louisville tonight. If you guys want to come, RagingIdiots.com. I tell you what happened to me the other night. I'm out and we're having dinner, and I finished dinner and we're doing a work event, and my throat, the right side of my throat, starts to swell up, and my tongue, the right side of my tongue, starts to swell up, and I can feel it when I'm in my hotel. And I'm like, uh-oh, this is not right. So instead, I just go to sleep. Probably should not have done that, but I'm like, I'm going to lay down. But I was having an allergic reaction to something. I don't know what it was. And only the right side of my whole body started to swell up.
Oh, my gosh.
Isn't that ever happened to you?
Mm-mm.
I looked at my tongue. I got in the bathroom, and I took my tongue out. You know, you can see, like, knots and stuff on your tongue?
Yeah.
The whole right side of my tongue had swollen up, and knots were all over it.
So did you eat something different?
Amy,
seafood?
I don't know what I ate. I mean, I know what I had for dinner. Yeah, there was seafood involved.
Oh, that could be it.
That's what happened to Stevenson whenever, and I was like, just eat your shrimp, buddy. He's like, I don't think so. I'm like, keep eating it. It's what's for dinner. Like, he ended up looking like the guy from Hitch. I was like, sorry, buddy, you're allergic to shellfish. Didn't know.
But I didn't have anything that I haven't had before.
But can you develop it? Like, is it you always have it or you don't? Or can it be developed? That's what I don't know.
Well, and I don't know what it was even to look back at. Because I remember we were like five things. They were like small things. So I was just eating.
Yeah.
And I get back to my hotel room and I'm blown up on all. Has anyone ever had a weird allergic reaction and not knowing what it was from? I know in the studio you guys haven't.
I've had. It's just I get what you're talking about with sardines. It happened to me one time. Never do it again.
Ew.
Once?
Yeah.
I had a girl I was dating. This has been a bit ago. And she had put some like lip plumper on her lips.
Mm-hmm.
And I kissed her and my lips started to swell up.
Whoa.
But I'm told that's kind of what that is. It's like lip plumper makes you allergic and swells up. Is that right? That's what that...
Wait, so what was it? Like a lipstick she put on or something?
It's like they sell a lip gloss that has a plumper in it.
And it's just to make you allergic to it.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And that's what blows up your lips. And I'm going, my lips are burning. My lips are burning. I think I'm allergic to this. And she goes, no, that's what we do. I'm like, what are you talking about? That's what you do. You put this on your lips to be allergic to it every time? She's like, well, that's how the lips blow up.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever use that crap?
I have before, but not in a while.
So what your lips look like?
They look pretty good.
Little Kylie Jenner?
Little Kylie Jenner. Like, what's up, baby?
This is Lip Kit.
Yes, Bobby Bones. Let's go over to Jane in California. Jane, what's happening?
Morning, studio.
Morning.
Hey,
Hey, Bobby. I'm the one that bet $50 on you last year, and you won. And I was just wondering what your thoughts are. Nashville has been great about rallying together and getting everybody to vote for Laura and Elena. And I've been voting. But I'm worried that she's going to get a ton of votes, and it's going to come down to two. And because of the new judging system, they might not vote for her because of your influence. What do you think about that? I want her to win, but I hope they don't do that.
Well, so Dancing with the Stars Monday night, I'll be there. It's the finale of the show. If you're new to the show, I won last year. And you're thinking because we raised such a... had such a time over there, they don't want Lauren to win because that'll be two in a row.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know how it's going to end. I don't think they're going to vote anybody off. I think it's only voted a winner, so I don't think the judges get to eliminate anyone. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. I don't think the judges will get to pick. I guess they can influence the score on the dance a little bit, but I think she's going to do fine. All I worry about is everybody else is such, they're all trained dancers, and Lauren has never danced before the show. So I talked with Lauren. I was like, hey, just use that spot. When they're interviewing you, that's your spot. That's where they can't control you. So we'll see how it turns out. I know we'll all vote for her. We'll all watch Monday. And I don't think there's a conspiracy to get Lauren, though. She's just too lovable of a person. The judges are also good folks. Even off that show. Even Lynn, Bobby, he's actually a really nice guy. So I do not think there's a conspiracy against Lauren.
Well, I just don't know how the voting's going to go at the end. Is it the person with the most votes, are they going to come down to two when they pick the winner?
No, it won't be that. It'll be the dance scores and votes. It'll be a mix of those two. Yeah. That's a good call, though. I appreciate that.
Yeah. All right.
Love you guys. Bye, Jane.
Thank you every day.
Thank you. Everybody remember Monday, vote for Lauren.
Okay.
Monday.
Well, not during the day, but Monday night while the show's on, yeah. Let's go to Kristen in Virginia who's on. Hey, Kristen, you're on the Bobby Bone Show. What's happening?
Morning, studio.
Morning.
I was just calling, Bobby, in regards to your conversation you just had a bit ago on the radio about your side of your mouth swelling and if allergies can develop at any period of time throughout your life.
Yeah, my throat and the side of my tongue all started swelling up. And it's mostly gone down as of now, but I never had anything happen like that before.
Well, have a large scope of allergies. I'm allergic to a large scope of foods, 8 different molds of mildews, dogs, cats, feathers, oak wood. So I carry EpiPens around with me constantly. And I heard your conversation and just wanted to let you know that according to my allergist, those allergies can develop at any point in time in your life. He had actually eaten shellfish the majority of his life and went out to dinner one evening and had shellfish and went into cardiac arrest. So,
Holy crap. I got off lucky. Yeah. I don't know what I ate. I do have an EpiPen they send me with, though. I don't carry it around ever. But it was for when they did the allergy test on my back and they started to put all this stuff in my back. And they're like, oh, you're allergic to everything. Here's an EpiPen. But I don't take it with me.
Maybe you should now.
What's on your pocket, EpiPen? Are you happy to see me? I ain't trying to have that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Again, and if I had a purse or something.
A purse.
Maybe I should carry a purse. Girls, you got it going with a purse. Yeah. I'm envious that you get to carry a purse around.
You can fanny pack it.
Mm-hmm. It's just difficult. It didn't really match with a lot of stuff. I have about 3 fanny packs.
It's too fluorescent.
It's just a lot. You always got to buckle it. But only like half of my face blew up, which was weird. It wasn't like the whole face.
Mm-hmm.
But I did have seafood that night.
Maybe it is something in that. You should go back. Test it out.
I can't.
Order everything you got.
It's not here. Appreciate all those calls. I do want to run over Morgan number 2's winning songs. We mentioned yesterday we talked about this because she does have the championship belt in the draft. And so she displays it proudly at her desk. She won 10 matches first. And so we started to go, she doesn't have a song for when she wins. Here are her 3 options. The one we played yesterday was Bruno Mars.
24K Magic.
Okay, here we go. If she wins, she can play this song. What y'all trying to do? Okay. Now let's act like she won and we'll hear her second option, which is what?
Beer Never Broke My Heart.
Okay, so there she is, the winner, Morgan number 2. Yeah. Play that song. That does kind of fit you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's your brand?
Yeah.
So far, I'm feeling that one for you. All right, okay. And then here's your other option.
Here I Go Again by Whitesnake.
Okay, here we go. Morgan Emerson, she just won. There's nice Woo! Win. Nice win. Again on my own. Oh, that's not bad. And that is kind of you at the bar party song.
Yep.
Wow.
They're all very on brand for me.
I'm going to pull out the Bruno Mars, though. Like, it's a good one, but I don't think that one's as you as the other two are. What do you think about that?
I mean, I think that Luke Combs is perfect because she just, like, gets so excited anytime that song comes on.
So we'll put the vote between Luke Combs. So I'm taking out Bruno Mars from the okay. vote was my point here. We'll do that, and we'll vote between Luke Combs or Whitesnake.
Okay.
Okay, all of us can have a vote. Amy, you're going Luke Combs?
Yep.
Mike D, what do you go over there? Just yell it out.
Whitesnake.
Okay. Ooh, we're back to even, 1-1. Lunchbox?
Luke Combs.
Eddie?
Come on, man. You know I love that classic rock. Whitesnake.
Wow. We're back to even again. Raymundo, what are you going?
Luke Combs, no question. Beer Never Broke My Heart.
Let me hear that one more time. There she is, Morgan number two. There you go.
That does hit hard.
It hits real hard.
I like that.
Okay, Morgan, your new winning song will be Luke Combs' Beer Never Broke My Heart. That's a good one for you.
All right.
It fits. Yeah, there she is. And she just won a winning song. Hey! Hey, what happened yesterday where people on the show were thinking Joaquin Phoenix died?
Yeah, so our company sent out a phishing test.
Like PH, phishing.
Yes. Like they sent it to the work email to see if they, you know, anybody in the company would click on it to probably teach you not to click on certain things, like clickbait.
Yeah.
And Scuba Steve.
Our new executive
yeah,
producer.
Yeah, so I'm on the phone with Mike D. Mike D's up here, Scuba Steve, Hillary, they're all on the phone. And I just hear in the background, Joaquin Phoenix is dead. And I'm like, what? Mike's freaking out. Everybody's freaking out. We're like, what happened? And Scuba Steve's like, man, Heath Ledger, after he played the Joker, he died. Joaquin Phoenix, after... He's got all these theories now of, like, why now he's dead. And, I mean,
so he's
we're
been,
all believing
First of all,
it.
He's been fished.
Right.
And now he's already developed a theory as to why Joaquin Phoenix has died.
But this is... Yes, he has a theory. And this is how fast, like, things spread. Because they're all here at work hearing it. I'm on the phone hearing it. It's like a game of telephone. I'm sitting at my dining room table.
I see it on his Twitter.
Yes. I'm with my husband and our other friend, Chase. We're having a meeting. And I'm like, Joaquin Phoenix is dead. And then Chase is, like, Googling, wow, Joaquin Phoenix is dead. I mean, it was so fast. And then, like, by the time Mike D and I are about to hang up and we're done with our little meeting, Mike's like, oh, never mind. Just check your email. Joaquin Phoenix is alive. Scuba Steve got fished. And he got a notification, like, from iHeart saying, you know, you fell for the iHeart phishing
test.
Oh, no. Yeah, so then you know, like, you're susceptible to clickbait. Scoop Steve.
How embarrassing.
Yeah.
I did see it on his Twitter and I was like, oh my God, Joaquin Phoenix is dead? And then I forgot about it.
It almost got you too?
Well, I just Googled and it wasn't trending on Twitter and I thought there's no way that'd be a humongous story. How do you get caught in the phishing scheme?
I don't know. I went through my work email and I don't know if I just didn't fall for it or deleted it or I don't know what he did.
I do want to mention your podcast though, Amy. You have Trish Yearwood on again.
Yeah.
I saw the picture of you, Trisha, and your son. You can search Four Things with Amy Brown, and you can hear this. And this was a clip that I thought was pretty cool. This is Trisha talking about being a bonus mom to Garth's kids, and who helped by giving her the good cop role?
Garth was a great dad in that he would give me the good cop role sometimes, you know? So he was the disciplinarian. So I got a chance to be the good guy a lot in the beginning, and that helped me kind of earn my way with them. And then, of course, food. I mean, you know, Garth, you know, he was a single dad. He had not cooked, but he did cook for those kids. They had a lot of the frozen chicken that you would bake and a lot of boxed mac and cheese. So I think, honestly, I just won them over with mashed potatoes. I really think that was the key.
Yeah, check out Amy's podcast. Weekend, I don't know what you're doing. You can check out that. She's with Trisha Yearwood. You can also, it's called Four Things with Amy Brown. And you can also check out mine, which is called The Bobby Cast, where I had Naomi on from Runaway June, and she just talked about her life, which is crazy. It's almost like Forrest Gump-ish. She lived on a bus for a long time. Not a tour bus, a family bus with like 11 siblings. And then she worked on a fishing boat. And then she played music at the airport. And then now Runaway June, obviously. I can buy my own drinks. No. Mm-hmm. They're doing their thing. So check those out. Two podcasts for you over the weekend. Appreciate you guys. Woo!
The Bobby Bones Show.
All right, here we go. Flashback Friday. The year is 2006.
Flashback Friday.
All right, your biggest country song on this day in 2006 is Carrie Underwood, Before He Cheats. I did a podcast with Josh Keir. He talks about writing this song, and he wrote it for Gretchen Wilson. And then turns out Gretchen Wilson didn't want it, and then got to Carrie Underwood. And then he was like, who's Carrie Underwood? She had just come off American Idol. And so, yeah, check that out. The latest, it's one of the latest episodes of the Bobbycast. But that's the biggest song in 2006. The biggest pop song, and I think most people knew this from the end of American Idol. Then it became a hit itself, but Daniel Powder, Bad Day.
Because you had a bad day, you're taking one down.
Such a big song. I mean, I love that song. Yeah, it was such a good song. But what would happen was when they would lose American Idol, they would get kicked off the show and they'd play that song.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, you're going home, so you had a bad day. It was a bad day. You see the girl that was busted for drugs and she blames American Idol for putting her in jail?
Oh, no.
She was on the show like 6-7 years ago. And they busted her for smuggling drugs or, you know, for moving drugs. And she was like, my life spiraled out of control whenever I got kicked off American Idol.
Oh, wow.
It's not American Idol's fault.
No, no. Yeah. But
and she was like in the top 16. I'd never heard of her. But, yeah, it was a whole thing.
Wow.
The biggest thing in pop culture, Pam Anderson and Kid Rock file for divorce after being married for only 4 months. They were briefly married in 2006. And so the Borat star said that Pam Anderson told him that the film caused them to get divorced, doing Borat.
Oh, wow.
He texted Pam Anderson after she brought Kid Rock to a screening of the movie, and it wasn't positive.
Oh.
So that was the whole thing. Cohen was like, what do you think? And she was like, I'm getting divorced. And she's like, why? He goes, the movie. Eesh. All right, there you go. That's what's happening. Amy, what's up today?
Well, I'm getting my dad packed. My niece is getting married this weekend. So it's kind of my dad's first grandchild to get married. So I'm just thankful he's healthy enough and we can go.
What niece is that?
I have a half sister from my dad's first marriage, and it's her oldest daughter, Bailey.
Driving, flying?
We're going to fly. Mm. We got to fly to Austin and then drive to Fredericksburg. So that's where the wedding is. What about you?
Eddie and I are headed to Louisville pretty soon to go play tonight. So we'll see everybody up there. And then Birmingham tomorrow night. If you guys are listening and Tuscaloosa. I mean, even if Nashville, you want to drive down.
It's not that far.
I mean, it's okay. It's like 3 hours.
Yeah, but it's not bad.
RagingIdiots.com. Appreciate you guys. See you Monday on the Bobby Bones Show. Have a great weekend, and we're always happy and thankful that you're with us. Bye, everybody.
Bobby Bones. Ooh.